Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. It is Sunday, September 16th, and it is a blustery, windy day out here in Willow, Alaska, the mushing capital of the world. It is not Dog Works Radio today. It is the Cybe Vibe, and this is our second show, and it is co-hosted with me with a lady from New York. Her name is Dorothy Wills Raftery. Dorothy, how's it going?
Hi, Robert. It's going good. I'm just listening to you talk about it being blustery, and here we're having a beautiful, sunny 66-degree day that we've been waiting from the heat. So it's funny the differences of where we are logistically, but still able to come together. How has your week been?
It has been fine. I got back last week from delivering a couple of service dogs in Denver, so it's good to be home, back into Alaska. Fall training is underway here at the Teemanneke Kennel for our upcoming mushing season, and I know you're very interested in that because you're owners of Siberians and you follow the mushing scene pretty closely, at least on Facebook. So we're looking forward to the first snowfall up here.
I bet you are. Now, I just read that your daughter Nicole is now in training, too. How proud and exciting that must be for you.
Yes, she's going to be running in her first 100-mile race here in February called the Willow Junior 100. She's a little bit nervous, but I think she'll be fine.
Well, we'll be rooting her on for sure.
Thank you very much. So today on our show, we have another Siberian Husky rescue. It's called Tales of the Tundra. They're calling in from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Dorothy, introduce the show and your guest for us.
Okay. But I would like to, for listeners who are just tuning into the show, we are the Cybe Vibe, and we are here on Dog Works Radio. And you can keep up with our shows or anything that you'd like to know about what we talk about Huskies either here or on Facebook or on the blog, at my blog, which is www.fivesibes.blogspot.com. And you can also check out Five Sibes Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews Facebook page, where, you know, we get to do a lot of chatter. You can find both Robert and I, and both on Twitter. He's at Teemanneke, and I'm over at Five Sibes Mom. And we have this show once a month right now on a Sunday, and we enjoy talking to our different guests. And just to give a little bit of a background on us before we introduce our guest, I'm the parent, along with my daughter, of five full-blooded Siberian Huskies, known as the Five Sibes, one of them Gibson. He is an epi dog. He has canine epilepsy, and he's the inspiration for my children's book that we often talk about, What's Wrong with Gibson, Learning About Canine Epilepsy. And I also want to just briefly introduce Robert. He's a canine behaviorist and lead trainer at Alaska Dog Works, who also hosts the weekly Dog Works radio show, and along with his wife Michelle, Mush You Huskies radio program. Both great shows I hope listeners will tune into. Currently, as he said, that, you know, he's getting ready for the upcoming mushing season, and we're going to keep our eye on him because he's training for the 2014 Iditarod. And Robert, I hope I'm going to get you on the other side of the mic one day so we can chat about that. What do you think?
You know, I think we have that scheduled for February, don't we?
We sure do. I was hoping you were going to say that.
Looking forward to it for sure.
Wonderful. And of course, speaking about Siberian Huskies, on today's show, we want to welcome Jennifer Maxson. She's from the Tales of the Tundra Siberian Husky Rescue in Pennsylvania, and she's their adoption application point person, the Adoptions and Applications Committee co-chair person, and she's also a member at large on the board of directors. Tales of the Tundra have a network of volunteers who help homeless huskies throughout a pretty broad area, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, and West Virginia. I hope listeners please visit their website at www.siberescue, and that's the nickname for Siberian, Sibe, S-I-B-E, plus the word rescue.com. And while there, you can peruse a number of beautiful Siberian Huskies that they have for adoption and fostering. And they also have a section for happy Husky ending stories, which we all love to hear about. There's information about the breed, the Husky personality, educational and training information. They have a memorial section and much more. Our guest, Jennifer Maxson, is a married Husky mama of two. In her circle of friends, she's fondly referred to as the crazy dog lady. Her two sibs are Yakoni, a six-year-old male she found as a stray, and she has Nuka, who is a four-year-old female purchased from her breeder. And Jennifer says Yakoni taught them all about the Siberian Husky traits, such as running away, escaping, being a picky eater, stubbornness. She says stubbornness was seen in her Nuka, who was the number one student for 8 weeks straight in obedience beginner training, and then during the final exam in true Husky form, laid down flat on the floor and refused to move. And I think we all can relate to these Husky traits. Jennifer says Nuka taught them about confirmation coming from a show breeder as a pet puppy, and she also credits the breeder for getting them interested in sledding, which they do. And sledding is something they became more involved with after joining Tales of the Tundra Siberian Husky Rescue in 2010. Jennifer joined the rescue, she says, to help with the applications and adoptions, and also she credits Nuka with teaching her just how important it is about training and how to train a puppy from the beginning instead of just laughing at her when she's cute, even though she's doing something naughty. She also says that Nuka taught her about anaphylactic reactions from an allergy to the lepto vaccine, and I know that must have been scary, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about that so people can, you know, hear and kind of get a little bit of education on what that's about. I'm also looking forward to talking to her about her experiences with Nuka and idiopathic epilepsy. As you know, Robert, and many listeners do, my woolly boy, Gibson, is our epileptic. And, you know, I'm very involved in canine epilepsy awareness, and I definitely want to hear what Jennifer has to say and her experiences with that. So I'd like to give a big hello and welcome to our show, Jennifer.
Hi, Dorothy. Hi, Robert. It's good to be here.
Hi, Jennifer. Nice to meet you, and thanks for joining us on the show this morning or this afternoon where you're at.
Oh, it's afternoon. We're here in Pennsylvania ourselves.
We're on the same time frame, aren't we, Jennifer?
Yes, we are.
It's really great. I'm so happy that you joined our show. And before we start talking about Tales of the Tundra, I thought we could chat a little bit about your two beautiful babies, Yakoni and Nuka. And am I saying Yakoni correctly?
Yep, that's correct, Yakoni.
Wow. Great. And Yakoni is a very handsome red and white husky, and Nuka is a pretty black and white girl. And I'm just interested in, like, how and when were you first interested in the breed of Siberian huskies? What drew you to them?
Yakoni drew us to him. We actually found him as a stray. We're investigating possibly getting a dog in the near future and looking at breeds. I wanted a smaller dog, a corgi perhaps, and Yakoni was found as a stray. We took him home for the weekend to try and find his family, put an ad in the paper, and got a phone call about a week later. The family that had him, he ran away from them, and they just couldn't quite take care of him with all the husky traits that he had. He was a runaway, very picky eater. They had a hard time keeping weight on him. So we jumped right into Siberian Huskies. I think I read every book that was available in the library and everything I could find on the internet. And we got through our first year with him. And decided a few years down the road to add a second one. And there's a local breeder pretty close to us that we found Nuka at. I was looking to adopt a second rescue husky and pretty much got attacked by puppy love. Fell asleep in my arms, and that was the end of that.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Nuka. And I know you had mentioned to me that she has an allergy to the lepto vaccine, and I know that had to be scary. Can you kind of take us through that and kind of tell us what happened and what to look for?
Sure. She had received her second lepto vaccine as part of the DHLPP vaccine, and Yakoni has received it all along. We never had any issues with him, but Nuka had her second booster as a puppy. Vet office is maybe about 15 minutes away from the house. And when we left the vet office, I noticed she was just kind of cranky and restless and crying in the car a little bit. When we got home, she started dragging her bottom on the floor, and she had just been tested, you know, for worms and everything, so I knew it wasn't that. Thought maybe something might have been irritated when they took her temperature, perhaps. So I called the vet office thinking I was just being a hypochondriac pet mommy and told the vet office what was going on, and they said, you need to rush her back as soon as possible. We think she's having a reaction to the vaccine. And we jumped back in the car and sped back to the vet office, and by the time we got there, her face had swollen. Her eyes were almost swollen shut. They took her in, gave her some pretty much Benadryl and some steroids, and had her on an IV for a couple hours to try and get everything under control. So she's, her file is marked pretty well that she cannot receive the lepto vaccine. So we do the DHPP portion of it every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very scary. I mean, it's good for folks to know that not all vaccines agree with all dogs. So it is very wise to keep a close eye. And as you said, you know your dog, so you knew immediately that to call. And I'm hoping Nuke is doing fine now.
Oh, yeah, she's fine now. We're always kind of in the back of my mind. I'm always worried about it. So anytime the kids go in for their vaccines, we kind of hang out at the vet office and in the parking lot for 15, 20 minutes to make sure nothing happens.
Oh, I can certainly understand that. Now, Nuke is also your epi dog, correct?
Yes.
She was. Can you tell me when she was diagnosed and a little bit about your experiences when she became or when you discovered she was an epileptic dog?
It was last summer. It was June. It was actually a Monday morning, I remember. About 5:30 in the morning, she jumped off the bed, landed on the floor, and was in a seizure. Of course, with it being our first one, we had no idea what was going on. I completely panicked. Seems like it, you know, was hours long that it lasted. First thing we did was call her breeder to check and see if they had had any issues with anyone in the family. They still have her brother, so I just wanted to make sure, you know, that he was okay. We got a history on them, that there was no seizures in the lines. Called the emergency vet. We rushed her in, and she was, what I can look at now, is a completely post-ictal phase. She was running into the walls and crying and just very disoriented, very restless. So they took her in, you know, got everything under control. We waited there for a few hours until our regular vet opened and then took her over to the regular vet. He was concerned about her, you know, having a seizure. She was still young, so we weren't sure what it was from. He gave us a couple options. We could kind of wait and see what would happen, or we could try and put her on a seizure medicine right away. We ended up putting her right on phenobarbital, and she was fine. We had a good 4 or 5 months where no seizures, you know, no bad side effects, nothing unusual at all. And I got to thinking, well, maybe the seizure was just by chance. Maybe it's not really epilepsy. Mm-hmm. So we tried to wean her off the phenobarbital. She had been off the phenobarbital in January, I think February, for 3 weeks or so, and she had her second seizure. The second one was a little bit more stronger. It lasted longer. But I think we handled it a little bit better. I don't know if you can ever say you're prepared to watch your dog go through a seizure, but at least we kind of knew what to expect. I did not have any phenobarbital here at the house, but I did have some Repto Valium that we did give her, brought her out of the seizure, and just kind of kept her calm and quiet until the vet office opened and then took her in. So now that we've
she's on, now you have her on the phenobarbital protocol now, and that seems to be...
Yep, we've been on that since February. She's on 64.8 milligrams twice a day, and knock on wood, we haven't had any issues.
Right, and I mean, we as epi parents, we always know we take each day as a good day, and we just keep praying for that next day and getting some more time behind us. And I know it's, for me, it's important, even with Gibson, to get that word out to folks that discovering you have an epileptic dog, or, you know, even considering adopting one that has seizures, doesn't mean the dog can't live a full, happy life. Today, there are so many options and treatments, both medical and holistic, that can be explored, and dogs are living life with this disorder. Jennifer, what are your thoughts on this as both a parent to Nuka, who's an epi dog, and also as being part of the rescue? I mean, you know, there must be a message, too, that, you know, you would like folks to actually hear about huskies that have a seizure disorder.
Probably the things that I learned in the very beginning, like you said, they can live completely fulfilling, happy lives. Nuka doesn't have any kind of issues. We still scooter with her, and we sled with her. She's really good. She's kind of her own little alarm clock. She knows when it's 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. it's time for her medicine. But other than that, you know, like anything else, you just kind of take it as it comes. You know, she needs some medicine. We give her that, and everything's fine from there. Sometimes in rescue, we get people, you know, who surrender their dogs to us because they do have a medical issue. But when you adopt a dog, you adopt the dog and all of the traits and health concerns and anything else that might come with the dog.
Right, that's right. And today there's so much wonderful information out there. There's so many great resources out there. You know, the rescues themselves, such as yours, is just chock full of information on the website that, you know, people can go to. They're not alone when they're in this. And I hope people, if they, you know, adopt a puppy or they're thinking about it, they don't let it stop them because of something like seizures or epilepsy. And if they have one, I just pray that they hang on to the baby and just see it through, you know, because it can be very rewarding. And I know for me, and I'm guessing for you too, when you're caring for an epi dog, not that you love it more than the others, but you do form this extra special bond with them because you're very in tune to their needs. And I also think it serves as a precaution because you're so aware of it with one dog. You do look out for symptoms of these things in the other dogs too as a preventative. I mean, what do you think about that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it makes me a little bit overly anxious and overly worried sometimes, but what good mom isn't? Just for instance, yesterday we got home from a dog event and Nuka started sneezing. You know, so the first thing that goes through your head, well, why is she sneezing? What's going on? Mm-hmm. There's even sometimes when, as much as I hate to admit it, the dogs do sleep in bed with us. But, you know, at night I'll wake up and she'll be kind of thrashing around a little bit and I'll panic right away. Oh, my gosh, is it a seizure? And no, she's just chasing rabbits or her brother in her sleep.
Yeah, we do. We keep a constant watch on them. And it's always a nice relief when you find out they are just chasing rabbits in their sleep. So I'm hoping that, you know, she'll stay healthy too and these seizures will stay away. And in the meantime, we'll all always keep networking so that we can keep getting that word out that these dogs such as Nuka and Gibson can have really great lives.
Absolutely. Now
you joined Tales of the Tundra Siberian Husky Rescue in 2010. What drew you to become part of the rescue?
About that time and the year prior to that, we were looking to add a second husky to the family and had actually gone through the adoption process with Tales of the Tundra to try and find a good match for our family with Yukoni. Like I said, in the meantime, before we could get a good match that way, I fell for puppy love and we got Nuka. But I just decided to try and help other dogs like ours. Yukoni just, I don't know, he was fate, the way that we got involved with Siberians, and I just thought it was a good idea to try and help other dogs like him looking for forever homes.
Right, that's wonderful. Now, can you give us a little background on Tales of the Tundra?
Tales of the Tundra began in May of 2001. We've saved about, I think, 600 Sibes or so to date.
That's wonderful.
We 600. Do not have a shelter. We are completely foster-based. We also do owner assistance, too. So if somebody is having some issues with their dog that we cannot help, you know, through behavioral advice or training or anything like that, perhaps, you know, it's just a bad situation where they can't keep the dog, we also try and do referrals.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Dorothy.
Oh, no, you're starting to say your first...
The first hike was in 2003. I know you and I had talked about that. So Rescue had been formed a few years prior to that.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the adoption process? I know that's what you're in charge of there and you oversee. If I was coming into Tales of the Tundra and I was interested in adopting a husky, what would the steps be? Can you walk me through those?
Absolutely. I am what's called the application point person. So any applications that come in, online at our website, www.siberescue.com. Come in to me, and I'll kind of read them over, get a feeling if they are in our area or out of our area. Like you mentioned earlier, we do cover Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, and parts of West Virginia. So the first thing I have to do is determine if it's in an area that we handle. And then I send the application on to another volunteer in our rescue called an application checker. They're responsible for contacting the applicant and doing an interview with them about their application, about their knowledge of huskies, if they have any other pets, any other children, all of the details in the home and the family and where they would be going. If everything passes okay with our application check, we also talk to 3 personal references and get a veterinary reference for any current animals that they do have in the house. From there, if everything's okay, the application would be passed on to what's called a scheduler. That would be another volunteer who talks to the person about any current available dogs in their area. They talk about what kind of characteristics and traits the new family's looking for, try and match characteristics and traits with any existing dogs in the house. Also, if they have cats, small children, things like that. And we try and pinpoint which dogs may be the best candidates to come to their home. All of our adoptions take place at the applicant's home, so there's no traveling involved for the applicant themselves. But we try and bring, you know, a few dogs to the house that sound like a good match and just kind of let the families and the potential dogs pick who's who for, you know, a good match.
Right.
Some people tend to go to the website and just pick out, you know, a pretty little husky face with blue eyes, and not all the time that's the right dog. I haven't been involved for too many years on too many adoptions, but I do have volunteers that tell me they'll take, you know, what they think might be the oddball dog. It's not going to be a good match for the family just to get that dog some experience out on adoptions, and that ends up being the perfect match. So it's just kind of funny how the dogs will find where they belong.
Right. And it's very important, as you said, that the dog does match the family. And I know across the board we all have heard how many, many people fall in love with the Siberian Husky for their looks. And then, of course, they get them home and, you know, they don't have the proper education or the proper training, or they don't want to put that extra effort into learning about it. So having a good match is very important. Now, if someone, say they were on the fence about, you know, adopting one, but they really thought they loved the breed, what about fostering? Can they foster a husky, and how is that done?
Absolutely. We would love more volunteers to be able to have some more foster homes available. If anyone is interested in fostering, again, they can visit the website at www.siberescue.com, and they can check out our volunteer section. They would become a volunteer. Our volunteers do go through an application check phase as well, where we do an interview with the volunteer and then check some personal references. Any dogs in the home would have to be up to date on their shots and preventative medications. We do have different committees involved in rescue, so they would kind of fall under the foster committee, who would help, you know, get them through their first experiences as a foster. Again, with foster dogs, we try and match them to their foster families. Mm-hmm. We try and keep the dogs in foster care for at least 30 days. That way the foster family can get an idea of the dog's personality. It's nice to be able to have dogs come out of a foster environment where you get to know them. They've kind of adjusted to life again, and you get to know their different little quirks and what they like and what they don't like.
Right. That seems like a very good environment for them. And then I would imagine quite a bit the foster parents probably fall in love with them and even become parents to permanent parents to these dogs.
That's what we lovely like to refer to in rescue as foster failuring.
But that's a good failure.
Yes, it does happen sometimes. Once the, you know, fosters find their way into their foster parents' hearts, they don't leave the house. You know, but on the other hand, too, I really admire our foster families in Tales of the Tundra. They do so much, from providing the dog with, you know, their food, their daily love, their care, their exercising. They're also responsible for transporting the dog's potential homes.
That's,
you know,
wonderful.
So in and of that, we try and help them out, but that's an expense, too, that they incur.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important key for the husky, I mean, to go into a home and start acclimating itself to family and love and that kind of treatment, too. And then rolling over into training of a husky, I know you have behavior specialists, and I know you have training tips and things like that on your website. How important is it for a husky to be trained, and not necessarily just a puppy, because I imagine some of the ones that might come in to the rescue may or may not have been trained?
Training is very important with huskies. Training is important with all of your dogs. But huskies tend to... We say, you know, when they're bored, they're going to be bad. You know, you should always make them work for their rewards. We took Yukoni to just basic obedience. Being first-time pet owners, we pretty much jumped in, you know, baptism by fire. We didn't know what we were doing. You know, so that walked us through a lot. But huskies tend to be a little stubborn when you're trying to train them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very smart. so they seem to catch on quickly. And a lot of times the trouble comes from trying to teach them why they should do something, not necessarily when and how they should do something. My two can be perfect little angels when we're at home, and there's a roof over their heads and four walls around their little bodies, but the moment they get outside, it's like they have ADD. You know, a butterfly goes by and that's it, and they can't hear you. It's selective hearing.
I'm picturing one of mine doing exactly that. And doesn't it sometimes, too, really involve also training of the adoptive parents, too? For instance, if a person has been used to, say, labs, but they decided they wanted to welcome a husky into their home, and there are some definite differences humans need to know about the two breeds and their needs. For instance, you were talking about, like, attention span stubbornness and no off-leash for a husky. That's almost like a law. I think that's a really big one. I was down at the local beach not too long ago, and while my daughter and I, we were eating lunch in the car and we were looking out at the river, a dog jumped on the side of the car, and I turned around, and it was a little panting, very happy Siberian husky pup, maybe about a year old, off leash, no collar. It ran away from us and started making the rounds and running further and further down the beach. And I noticed that the family was just standing by the car, and they kept calling out to them. And all I could think about was, that dog's going to run away or get hurt or worse. And, you know, it's very scary to watch this happen, you know, knowing about the husky traits and what they're capable of and how fast they're capable of escaping. What else should people be educated on before bringing a husky into their home?
Dorothy, I do have to commend you on not jumping out of your car and going to talk to that family. There are times where I've seen husky owners that just need a little help with their education, and oh my goodness, I could just see my husband and I jumping out of the car and going to educate the family politely. But absolutely, like you said, no off-leash, it is a law. It's not even a choice. You see the signs all the time on the internet and the pet stores that say, you know, no leash, no husky. They're going to be gone. But we try and let them know, you know, they're going to be attached to you 24/7, whether they're in the house with you, even if you have a fence. You know, a lot of huskies are known to jump fences. You can't leave them unsupervised. Like I said, they get bored and they just find ways to entertain themselves that they shouldn't be doing. So the off-leash, you know, that's a very big part of the education that we do with any of our potential applicants. Make sure that they understand, you know, off-leash. And a lot of people who have labs or dogs that are very good on recall, they don't understand that. And they think we're being mean. How can you never let your dog go and play?
Right.
And there's just a difference in the breeds. We actually have 50-foot leads that we put them on to kind of let them roam and get that freedom without having to worry about them going and getting hit by a car, or we live out in the country, you know. So there's woods, there's things that they can get in trouble with. Lots of people have had encounters with skunks this year, you know, but all kinds of scary bad things can happen if you let these guys go.
Right, because they also, I mean, speaking of skunks, they have a very high prey instinct.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I think if they're not on leash or they're not in a very correctly fenced-in area, they can just take off after one of these animals also, and that's also a danger.
It is. I mean, where we live, we've got raccoons and woodchucks and all kinds of things at night, and, you know, you don't know what they're going to encounter, if they're going to get into something that's going to be bad for them, whether they eat it or... You know, maybe the animal's rabid. I mean, there's so many things that you can worry about with these guys, and at least if they're on the end of my 50-foot leash or my 6-foot leash, I know where they're at.
Right, exactly. Now, the flip of the coin, what do you think is the easiest thing to train a husky for?
I think it depends on the personality of the husky. Yakone and Nuka are complete opposites. Nuka is so food-driven, that it is difficult when you are holding a treat for training in front of her to get her to focus on what you want her to do. That's very difficult for us. On the flip side of the coin, Yakone is not motivated by food at all. You know, and it's hard to find, you know, is it rewards? Is it a tennis ball? Is it, you know, another type of toy? Is it petting? What do you do to get the dog you know, to find a reward to get them to help for training?
What do you do for Yakone?
Yakone, he likes attention. Yakone is, if he had his choice, I think he would be in the Westminster Dog Show. He likes attention, and when we take him out, he puts on his little show stance and he starts prancing around, and he loves to be the center of attention. So a lot of times, you know, that's what's worked for us.
That's what's worked. Now, today we're talking with Jennifer Maxson of the Tales of the Tundra Siberian Husky Rescue in Pennsylvania. And you mentioned before that they're behavior training experts. Now, can folks contact them directly on your website for tips, or how does that work?
Absolutely. We have on the website, www.siberescue.com, there's many different links, one of them being Help with Your Husky and what's called our Owner Assistance Committee. Those folks help with different behaviors, different ways that you can help train your dog if you're having issues. A lot of time, first-time husky parents will think, you know, that what their dog's doing may be countersurfing. Oh, my gosh, it's the worst thing my dog can be doing. You know, what am I going to do? You know, and it's just learning and opening up that experience to more people that help you learn that it's a husky thing. You know, you're not the only one battling this. Mm-hmm. Maybe what worked for one person doesn't work for another person with their dog. So it just helps to get almost a bank of experience that you can draw from. So if anybody is having any issues with their dogs, please contact us at the Owner Assistance Committee email address. And, you know, they've got lots of experience to draw on, and a lot of times we'll just send out an email to everybody on the list in Tales of the Tundra. You know, has anybody ever had these issues? What's going on? It was a nice thing that I did when Nuka had her first seizure. The first thing I did was contact, you know, my fellow volunteers and say, who's dealt with this before? What am I going to do? Because, of course, in that moment of panic, I felt like I was the only one.
Right. And there is something about when you're talking to other owners and other parents, I should say, of huskies and finding out what their experiences are. It really does add a lot, and it's a great networking to have. And everyone is always out there very willing to come forward, it seems, and share their experiences, which I think is a great thing. Now, I just want to elaborate just a little bit more on the husky traits for people who are coming in and really wanting to adopt a husky into their home. Prior to adopting, what type of preparations should they make and securities? I know we talked about fencing, but what other kind of suggestions would you give to a potential adoptive parent in getting ready to bring home a Siberian husky?
We've got lots of information on the website. When we do dog events, we've got lots of brochures, you know, that do have all what some people consider the bad traits of a husky. Their tendency to escape, their tendency to be stubborn, their tendency to become bored very easily. All of those things they need to do their research on and get educated about how to prevent those things from happening.
Now, in today's rough economic times, do you have some tips or suggestions for people on caring for their huskies? Is there any information or assistance available so they don't have to look at rehoming as a choice?
I think that's a really good question, Dorothy, and I think it's very general, too, not just for huskies, but anybody out there with dogs that are having issues. You know, maybe they've lost their jobs, they're low on income. Some of the top things that come to my mind would just be your regular veterinary care, you know, and your preventative maintenance. It's obviously going to be less money to treat for heartworm prevention than to have your dog come down with heartworm. Here in the Erie area, we have some local food banks just for the pets. We've got a network called Erie Animal Network that has a food bank set up, you know, so I would encourage people to look in their local areas for shelters to see if there's any help to feed the pets. Also with your food, a lot of people will just go to the store and buy the cheapest brand they can find because they think, you know, that it's going to cost less in the long run. And a lot of times it ends up costing more. They tend to say that the better food tends to be a little bit more expensive, but you're going to feed less amounts per day to your dog. It's very surprising how little huskies can eat, but their metabolisms just, that's how they're designed. They're designed to take a little bit and go a long way with it. Another thing that we learned with Nuka when we were faced with that first emergency vet bill, you know, it's $500 at the emergency vet where we were there for an hour and a half. It's like, how are we going to come up with that? And I don't know if you've heard, you know, if you have it in your area, but there's that care credit.
Right.
Available, you know, and we've used that a few times to just kind of help pay the bills a little bit at a time for Nuka instead of, you know, just saying, oh, she's an epileptic, we can't afford, you know, we can't afford to take care of her.
Oh, these are excellent, excellent tips. And again, they can visit your website at www.cybrescue.com and get even more information on this. Now, if someone's interested in volunteering or helping out your rescue, and they can't foster or actually adopt a dog, are there other ways that they can help?
Absolutely. That's what I do. We haven't adopted a third one yet, and we're not ready to foster. But I do a lot of my work online, answering emails. I do a lot of my work with the application. So there's always something for them to do, be from attending events. You know, they can help out with any of the different committees through. We've got a Sunshine Committee that sends out cards and thank yous. And we have a follow-up committee that follows up on all of our past adopters. The Adoptions Committee, like I had mentioned, our Owner Assistance Committee. So there's many, many things for them to do.
Oh, that's great.
If somebody doesn't want to join, you know, there's always the option on the website, too, to just make a donation. So there's lots of different ways to help out the dogs without having to commit to become a foster home or to adopt a dog.
Oh, that's wonderful, because a lot of people, they want to help in some way, and I think that's great that there are so many different ways that they can. Speaking of events, at the Tales of the Tundra, you guys do a lot of events such as sledding demos, the Tales on the Trails, which we're going to talk about in a couple minutes, and visits to schools and scouts. Can you tell me a little bit about the visits? Like, I'm curious. I'm sure it must be very beneficial to both the dogs and the children when the Huskies go in and do a visit.
Absolutely. I love doing events and just getting out in the public. Like I said, we had an event here in Erie yesterday. It was a lot of education. You know, people come by and they're like, oh, they're so pretty dogs, I want to get one. You know, and the first thing that pops up is, you know, we turn into teachers. We teach them about the Huskies. When we visit the schools, we teach the children about Huskies, but more so how to be good pet parents down the road. You know, things from taking care of them, being responsible, getting your pet spayed or neutered. And it's also good to educate them on Huskies. That way we don't have a lot of people, you know, buying those cute little balls of fluff and puppies and then 6 months down the road just not wanting to, you know, take the responsibilities for adopting the dog.
Right. That's right. And all, it's unfortunate, but that seems to happen quite a bit. So this is an excellent way of trying to prevent that down the road. I think that early education is so critical. You guys also put on a lot of sledding and mushing demos. And I know, Robert, this is a specialty right up your alley with Team Ineke and the years of working with your dogs. I'm wondering, what do both of you see as the value or learning factor for kids and people of all ages watching these type of mushing events and attending them and becoming involved?
Jennifer, you go ahead and go first.
Okay, Robert. It's just starting to get cool enough in Pennsylvania. We actually hooked the dogs up for the first time this year yesterday at the event. Mark took them around on our scooter and went through one of the small trail paths through the park. But it's nice to be able to do the demos for people. A lot of people, when they think of sledding and mushing, the first thing they think of is the Iditarod. And I know it's gotten some bad raps over the years by people who think that it's cruel and it's inhumane and how can you make your dogs do that? And doing the demos helps the people understand how much fun it is for the dogs, even with my two. We've only been doing it for a couple years, but they know when we grab their sled harnesses, Nuka starts wailing at the top of her lungs like a little banshee, and she starts doing the little bunny hops. She wants to go. Yakoni did that yesterday at the event. Mark and I have often had the conversation. Sometimes I wonder if Yakoni would prefer to just be a little couch potato. And, you know, maybe we should get three other dogs so Daddy can run Nuka with her three other little, you know, mates. And Yakoni and I can stay snuggled on the couch in front of the fireplace. And we had the opportunity yesterday. I took Nuka for a walk at the event. And Mark was back at our tent with another volunteer with Yakoni. And he got the scooter out, and Yakoni started doing the same crying that Nuka normally does. You know, so now I know. I think Yakoni might put on the calm little face when Mommy's around to make me feel sorry for him. But deep down, I think he likes to run too. It's good for the dogs. It gives you a nice bonding experience between you and the dogs. And more importantly, it gives the Huskies a job to do. And when they're focused on doing something, it keeps them out of trouble.
You know, Jennifer, that's a great point. And what I tell folks all the time is, a tired husky is a happy owner. They can't get into trouble when they're beat, I guess, you know, when they're dead tired. So anytime you can get out and do things with your dogs, whether it's scootering or hiking or, you know, snowshoeing or whatever you're doing, depending on your climate, those Siberians, they will do just about anything to get out there and work with you. And it's great exercise. It's great time with your dog. It's great time with your family. Anytime you can get out there and do stuff with those dogs, it's going to make their lives so much more productive.
You know, I see a lot of people have been hooking their huskies up to new, and I don't know if they're inventive ways, but they're new to me. The most recent, a gal posted a picture of her very happy husky hooked up to her jogging stroller. And, you know, I know on Facebook and things, a lot of people are showing different videos where they're actually doing some, skimboarding with the dogs running in the water, pulling them. I mean, there's all different types of ways. What are some off-season things that folks can do with their huskies to kind of keep in the same line?
Well, even when there's no snow, we have the options. Mark has Springer hooked up to his bicycle, so the dogs can run with Mark while he's on the bike. We have a scooter that we can use for dry land events. People also have three-wheeled carts that they can use called rakes for dry land events. In the same essence, too, it's very important to realize how quickly a husky can overheat. So it's important to not do too much in the summertime with these guys. We try and make sure that it's 50, 55 at the most when we're running them because they will overheat so quickly. But we don't necessarily have to wait for there to be snow on the ground.
You know, Robert, I know you've also posted some of your early training shots. What types of things do you do to get your dogs ready when there's no snow?
Like I mentioned, hiking is a great activity to go with your dogs. It's not a lot of pressure on them in terms of overheating if they aren't pulling something or going fast. So just getting out there and hiking with them is a great exercise. But just spending time with your dogs is so important. They don't have to always be doing something. Just hanging out with them in the backyard. I'm sure you know, Dorothy, how important that is with all of your guys in your house. But just spending that quality time with them instead of, you know, putting them in the crate or, you know, keeping them segregated from everybody else. Enjoy the time with your dogs. They're here for such a short time. Enjoy every minute of it.
Oh, you're right. I mean, I know that's what we do here, too, because we don't do sledding, but not that I wouldn't love to, but we do a lot of just hanging out, walking around. They have a free run here, whether they're in the house. And yesterday was a highlight for us because our Chloe, our 4-year-old girl who blew out her CCLs and had the bilateral cruciate imbrication surgery a couple months back, we took her out for her first leash walk yesterday, and Gibson came along and kept her company. And I actually just posted a video yesterday, and it was you could see it on her. She still has a gimp, but she was so happy just to be out there walking, and, you know, it's a wonderful feeling, and like you said, just spending the time with them. Our guest today, again, I just want to let everyone know, is Jennifer Maxson with the Tales of the Tundra Siberian Husky Rescue, and they're out of Pennsylvania. You can check out their very informative website at www.siberescue.com. And September here is a very special month for the rescue, as Sunday, September 29th, marks the 10th annual Tales on the Trails Husky Hike and fundraising event. This event features a husky hike where folks can sign up to walk their own dog, or they can ask to walk one of the rescue dogs and obtain pledges from folks for a donation to the rescue. We do it as a remote walker in the past years where I take my 5 and we just hook up and walk all around here, and we get pledges and try to help out a little bit that we can from our end. There are so many exciting things happening, during this event too. Jennifer, can you tell us a little bit about how Tales on the Trails event actually began?
Sure, Dorothy. And I just wanted to mention that it's actually Saturday, September 29th.
I'm getting Sunday for our show and Saturday for the event mixed up.
I know. No, the event is actually going to be Saturday, which I'm really looking forward to. It's our 10th event. It'll actually be the third year that I'll be there. But we just needed a fundraiser where everyone could come together to help raise money for the dogs. And we just decided to do a hike. We have a 1-mile and a 2-mile walk that you can go on. We welcome people with their dogs, people without dogs. It does not have to be a Siberian Husky. So you can bring, you know, any kind of dog that you have. But it's a full day of fun for dogs and the people who love them.
Now, I heard there's going to be lots of fun events there, too. Ice cream eating contest or event. I don't know if it's actually a contest, but that's for the Huskies. I know my Huskies would love competing in something like that. I know there's going to be some artwork with the Huskies and different vendor booths. Can you just maybe let us know a little bit about what else is going to be there if people weren't hiking?
Absolutely. Things are still, of course, we're 2 weeks out, so we're still planning a lot of fun things. More things are added every day as I check my emails. There'll be a Chinese auction there. We will have all kinds of different vendors. There'll be homemade dog biscuits and treats. There'll be people with collars, with leashes. We'll have a nail clipping and I believe a microchipping clinic there. We have the hike. There's a DJ. There's food for people. We have plenty of pools, little waiting pools around for dogs to cool off. As for some of the contests that we do with the dogs, the ice cream eating contest is always a very big fun one. We also do a biscuit finding contest where we put a biscuit underneath three different bowls and have the dog sniff to see where it's at. We also do musical sit with the dogs. That's always a fun one too, and surprisingly, a Husky won last year. She was one of our adoptees, and she won it. Nuka did not enter. As I said, there was no roof over our heads or walls around us, and there was lots of butterflies out that day, so Nuka was in her own little land. But it's so much fun, and it's just a good day for a lot of us because rescue is in such a big area. It's a good day for all of us to come to one area to share our stories, share our love of the breed, and just meet people.
It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful event. I'm actually very thrilled because I'm going to be coming to it this year, not with my Huskies, but I'll be coming down to, you know, participate. And I'm also going to be taking some photos so I can do a nice piece up on our blog, about the day. So I'm really looking forward to meeting anyone, and especially the Sibes I'm looking forward to meeting. What are your goals for the Husky hike? What do you hope that this one, a message or a goal, what would it be?
I think message, education, just a good day for the dogs. Ultimately, it results in a lot of monetary funds that help us keep the everyday running the rescue together. We do all do it as a volunteer basis, but it comes down to things cost money. It costs money to buy gas to be able to transport the dogs from adoptions. It costs money to feed the dogs. It costs money for their vet bills to keep them healthy, or even in an owner assistance or owner surrender situation, or sometimes shelter, situations when we pull dogs, they're not in the best of health. So it costs money to get them, their weights back up and their health back up again.
Now this event's going to be rain or shine. Is that right, Jennifer?
Absolutely. We have done it last year. We got a little bit of rain. I'm hoping it'll be sunny, but not too hot for the dogs. It was a very, very hot day last year, and we actually didn't get a chance to do our sledding and mushing demonstrations because it was too hot for the dogs. But it's fun. We'll have people there doing sledding demonstrations and also what we call run what you brung. So you can have a chance if you're interested in doing any of the biking or the sledding with your dog. People will be there to help you hook them up in harness and kind of see what it's like. Years ago was when we put Nuka and Yukoni in harness for the first time. And it was funny. I thought my more well-behaved, focused Yukoni would end up being our lead dog. And here it was my little ADD girl. You put a harness on her, and she's all work. She knows her rights and her lefts, or her G's and her haws. And, we found that out at the hike 3 years ago. So there's lots of opportunities. There'll also be someone there demonstrating weight pulling. I believe she brings her Malmute down, but you can hook any of your dogs up, and it just gives you an idea of the different fun things you can do with your dogs.
Wow, that's going to be a great day. And now, how can our listeners who may be interested in attending the Tales on the Trails find out more information about the day? And because they can still register to walk, correct?
Absolutely. If they can attend the event, they can register to walk. They can also be a remote hiker, like you had mentioned, Dorothy. There, right off of our website, www.siberescue.com, there's a link at the bottom that takes you to the Tales on the Trails website. There's different ways that you can help. You can register there with links. You can also make pledges. There's different dogs that have pledges up. I shouldn't be taking the opportunity to use this as a personal benefit, but Nuka and Yakoni have their own little pledge site up, as well as Dorothy's Five Sides have a pledge site up. So if you'd like to donate to either one of us or just pick one of the other dogs that are on there, we would appreciate it. Different opportunities, if you're still interested in being a sponsor or a vendor, you know, contact us and let us know. We would like to get all the help that we can.
That's wonderful. I think it's going to be a great event, and I'm looking forward to it. And again, any listeners who are interested in attending or helping in some way, please go to their website, www.cybrescue.com, and join in for the day. It'll be great. You'll be helping Huskies, that's the bottom line, and having a lot of fun. Jennifer, is there anything else that you'd like to add to let listeners know that maybe we didn't actually get to or talk about that you would like to talk about with them?
Just a couple more things regarding the height. We also do an alumni review where any of our adoptive dogs can come back and we kind of do a little bit review about their family and they get to do a little alumni parade. We also have canine good citizen testing that day, and there's also a memorial garden available that you can purchase a candle in memory or in honor of a dog or someone you know, that you'd like to honor. And those links are all also on the Tales on the Trails website.
Oh, that's good. Robert, is there anything else that you would like to ask Jennifer?
I don't know if you guys had mentioned this, but where is the event located? I'm sure it's on the website, but for folks listening elsewhere, where is this event going to be held?
It's going to be in Warminster Community Park in Warminster, PA. Biggest city closest to that, if you're not familiar with Pennsylvania, it's Philadelphia area.
Very nice, very nice. That's all I have. Jennifer, thank you very much for joining us. Dorothy, anything else you want to mention to Jennifer before we move on to talk about next month's show?
Nope. I just, again, I join you in thanking you, Jennifer, for joining us. And again, for our listeners, if you're interested in adopting or fostering a Husky or would like more info on the breed, please be sure to check out their website at I might have put one extra W in there. I'm not sure. www.cybrescue.com, or you can visit my blog at www.fivesides.blogspot.com. Look for the Tales of the Tundra logo on the left-hand side and click on it for a direct link over to their website. Jennifer, thank you, and I'll be seeing you in a couple weeks.
I know. I look so forward to finally getting to meet you in person.
Thank
you. Gibson, you know, brought us together a year ago just from networking with me trying to find people who knew about canine epilepsy. So it's nice that we can come full circle in two more weeks and finally get to meet each other.
Yes, definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Jennifer, thank you for joining us this afternoon on the SciVibe, and we'll make sure to pass over the show page once we get it up. It'll be up sometime later this afternoon, and it'll have links to your guys' website on there as well, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, Robert.
You're welcome. All right, Dorothy. Next month's show, October 14th, you're going to have on a film director and a writer. Tell us about him.
Yes. His name is Martin Benson, and we'll be talking with him about his newest movie that's in production, and it features a Siberian Husky as one of his main stars, and the movie's called Dakota, Dedicated to My Best Friend, and the synopsis for the film is the following. After causing a tragic accident, Kurt Lawson, who's the other main character, his life free falls into despair and guilt, and he believes nothing can turn it around until he finds Dakota, a Siberian Husky who is much more than any ordinary dog. It sounds like a must-see movie, and Benson's going to take us behind the scenes and share with us what it's like filming with a Siberian Husky as a star. I'll also be doing an in-depth feature with him that we'll be posting on my blog to coincide with the show, and I know that they've done some filming, and they have some filming scheduled for this fall and winter as well, so it sounds like it's going to be exciting.
And that's DakotaTheMovie.com. That is the website for the upcoming movie. Do you have any idea on release date? Is it going to be a major motion picture? Is it going to be, you know, just limited run, or do you know yet?
Well, I'm sure he's hoping it's going to be a major release. Right now, I think he's in the stages of getting backers, investors as well, and going ahead with filming, and I think they hope for a 2013 release. And those are a lot of good questions that we'll be sure to ask him next month, and hopefully he'll be able to let us know.
And on November show, it's going to be on November 11th. October 14th is our next show for the Cyb Vibe. It'll be at 9 a.m. Alaska time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. November 11th, you're going to be speaking about canine epilepsy again. I know that's a big topic for you, and you want to have on a guest that really knows the ins and outs of this disease. I'm sure you're very well educated, but this person here really has the firsthand knowledge. Who is that?
That is going to be Marion Mitchell. She is the co-manager and owner of the Canine Epilepsy Resources website, and that's canine-epilepsy.com. They're a phenomenal resource for any EpiDog parent. They have an Epi Canine list, which is a fantastic mailing list that Epi parents can join. And if you have a question or on medication or on seizures or anything, it's this wonderful group. You just send out an email, and they're a fabulous group of people that are very willing to share their information. Sometimes it's fear. Something may happen we don't understand, and there's always someone there. The website has wonderful resources available to Epi parents. Right now they're putting on Epi Calendar, which is their major fundraiser for the year. So if anyone would be interested in that and helping support canine epilepsy awareness and research, the money that we raise goes to Emma's Fund, a portion of it, which is Marion's late Dalmatian, who was an epileptic dog. It's going to be wonderful to have her on, have her talk about the resources, what's available, talk about the Epi canine list, and it's going to be part of a whole month of canine epilepsy awareness that Gibson and I are doing together, and it's going to be called Live Gibstrong, and I'm hoping that we can turn Facebook purple that month as well.
Very cool. And I know you have your hands in lots of projects, including this radio show, your blog, your photos, all that sort of stuff. Anything you want to mention that you're doing in the next several months before the end of the year here?
Well, I'm hoping to get the second Five Sides Tales out. It was originally scheduled for late spring, but that has been delayed. And hopefully, I'm hoping to have it out between late September and October. Hopefully it'll be out. If my illustrator's listening, I'm probably giving her beads of sweat at the moment. But it will be out in time, hopefully, so people can even, if they're interested in it, for Christmas. So I'd like to get that book finished. That's going to be on Harley. That's Getting Healthy with Harley is the title for the next book. And hopefully that'll help kids understand both eating healthy themselves and also that the Five Sides eat healthy and how to live a healthy lifestyle. So that's the Canine Epilepsy Awareness for November, and that book are my biggies right now.
Again, you always have something going on, and that is very cool that you're making that awareness so prevalent, not only for epilepsy but for proper care and instruction for all dogs, not necessarily Siberians. I know the Siberians hold that special place in your heart, but this is about education for every pet owner, isn't it?
Right. Yes, it's for dogs across the board, and just pets across the board. Someone can always walk away with, an idea that feed your pet healthy, spend time with them, exercise. It goes back to even what Jennifer was saying too, that it's very important that we take care of them and start at a young age with children. So if children can read my books about the Five Sides and walk away knowing if they see an epileptic dog, okay, I'll go get mommy a bag of frozen peas and I've helped, or in Getting Healthy with Harley, maybe, swap out giving the dog cookies all the time and try giving them, frozen green beans or an occasional frozen carrot, then that's a good thing, because now the kids are growing up with this knowledge and education of a healthier way of feeding their dogs, and they'll learn too that, hey, maybe if Gibson's eating a carrot, maybe I should eat a carrot.
There you go. Well, again, Dorothy, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Dorothy Wills Raftery is our co-host here on the Cyb Vibe, and I do want to thank again Tales of the Tundra, Siberian Husky Rescue, and their willingness to be on the show today. Dorothy, we'll talk to you next month, okay?
We'll talk to you next month, and Robert, thank you for co-hosting.
No problem. On behalf of our guests, we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Thank you.